Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in today, and let us say that it is a joy to have you listening to the program. We appreciate so much your spending some time with us, and we trust that you have your Bible ready. We want to ask you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 17 this morning. We're going to be talking about a very important topic. We've been looking at this for the past several days, and we're glad that you've joined us in order to study this topic again. Now, our game plan for today is this. We want to pick up where we left off yesterday, and that is, we want to start in verse 33 of Luke chapter 17. Now, I know that if you're not able to listen to the program every day, and I know that that's the case many times, that oftentimes we have to go back and review a little bit. Sometimes we might need to go back and pick up some things. But what I want to do today is to begin in verse 33 and continue with what we've been talking about. And then, as we read these verses and explain them and apply these lessons to our lives, I hope to be able to fit these verses into the overall context, into the basic point or topic that he's talking about in this last part of Luke chapter 17. And then from there, we hope to branch out into some other passages in the New Testament about this very significant theme, and that is God's judgment upon the Israelite nation in the first century. And it is important to remember that we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. You see, God punished his people Israel many times in the Old Testament. We find that he sent plagues among the people. We find also that he would oftentimes use foreign nations to punish his people. And so the Assyrians attacked the Israelite people, and they took many of them hostage and killed many of the other Israelites. We find also that the Babylonians attacked Judah. They likewise killed many people, took many captives, and so there was a destruction. There was a judgment of God upon his people. But those judgments of God, those punishments that we read about in the Old Testament of his people Israel, were just forerunners to what we're looking at here. Because what we're talking about here, when we talk about the judgment of God in AD 70 upon the Israelite nation, is one final judgment upon these people. And by final judgment, of course, I'm not talking about the day of judgment. I'm talking about earthly punishment. I'm talking about an end to their nation. You see, many people think that God's promise to the Israelite people was unconditional, that they will always be his chosen people, that there would never be anything that would overturn that promise, or that that promise would ever end in any way. And yet what we find in the New Testament is that God shows that that promise was conditional, and that the nation of Israel, as they knew it, was coming to an end, and it never would get back to the point or to the place that they had been in their past. I know that goes contrary to the beliefs of a lot of people today, but I want to ask you to open the Bible, look at these passages with us, and let's reason about this. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 33. We've talked about how that in verse 30, Jesus talks about the time in which the Son of Man is going to be revealed. And he says it's going to be like the destruction in the days of the flood and the destruction of Sodom. What's going to happen? Well, in verse 31, Jesus warns that in that day, if you're on the housetop, don't come down to get the stuff out of your house. And if you're in the field, then don't come back. What's he talking about? He cannot be talking about the end of time, so he has to be talking about this situation that we've described. And that is God's judgment upon the nation of Israel, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem. Now, that was going to take place within 40 years of the time that Jesus spoke these words. And so Jesus is trying to warn these people here. So beginning in verse 33, here's what he says. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, I know in other context, in other parts of the Bible, that Jesus said similar things, and he was talking about spiritual life and spiritual death and spiritual loss. But primarily here, because he's talking about this great event in AD 70, he's talking about preserving their physical life for the most part, because he says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. In other words, he's talking about Jews, and there were many of them that did this. There were many Jews that were stubborn, that would not surrender to the Romans. And so they shut up the gates of the wall around Jerusalem, and they refused to give in. Well, those Jews that did that died in that siege. But he says, on the other hand, whosoever shall lose his life, that is, surrender, and give up his life. And perhaps Jesus means here also, whoever puts his property and his possessions behind him and is willing to give those up in order to get out of the city, well, he says in verse 33, he will preserve it. Remember now, fit this verse, verses 33 and following, fit those verses into what he's just said here in verse 31. Well, he goes on to explain in verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And what this means is that when those Romans came in, some of those people could surrender or could escape the city, but the ones who stayed behind, the ones who would not heed Jesus' warning, the ones who were so stubborn and disbelieving of anything that Jesus said, well, they were going to be left there in the city and they would die in that city. Now, that's what those verses are about in this context. Again, you've got similar things said in the last part of Matthew chapter 24, but remember, in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13, there are two subjects. The first subject is God's judgment upon Jerusalem, and the second topic is the end of time. Here in Luke chapter 17, as far as I can see it, folks, there's only one subject, and that is God's judgment upon the Israelite nation and the city of Jerusalem in particular in the first century. Now, after Jesus says this, and remember that he's talking to his disciples here, and let me remind you that those disciples of Jesus, the Christians who remained faithful to him, they did not die when the Romans came, because they got out of the city when they saw the signs that Jesus had told them about. Now, there could have been apostates there. More than likely, from reading the book of Hebrews, there were probably people that had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and had forsaken him. They had backslidden, and so they went back to the Jewish religion, some of them in the city of Jerusalem. That's highly possible. And if that's so, then they died in their unbelief. Sadly, they died in their sins, folks. But the faithful Christians who believed Jesus' words, and folks, let us point out here that that did take faith on their part. Because as we said, Jesus said these words less than 40 years before all this actually came to pass. So you might imagine that there would be some people who might be tempted to say, well, you know what? It's been about 20 or 30 years ago since Jesus said all that. He said that there was coming this great calamity, and it hasn't happened yet, and so maybe it's not going to happen. But those faithful Christians didn't do that. They believed Jesus, and they got out of the city, and that's what history records. But he's talking to his disciples here, and the Bible says in verse 37 that after he's talked about all this, they don't ask him when. Now, you see, in Matthew chapter 24, their question is, when are these things going to happen, and what's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? So they want to know when and what. Here, they want to know where this is going to take place. Now, I know that Jesus doesn't use the word Jerusalem here, but from the whole teaching of the Bible, from the overall context of the Bible, there's absolutely no question about it, folks. Where is this going to happen? And Jesus tells them in general terms here in this figure. He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together, or the vultures will be gathered together. And the body there refers to a dead carcass. And again, that represents the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation was spiritually dead. They were like a dead carcass, and these vultures were swarming around them. And that, of course, would refer to the armies of the Roman Empire. So this is what we find here in Luke chapter 17 in these verses. Again, it begins in verse 22 and goes all the way down through verse 37. Now, folks, when the capital city of Jerusalem was destroyed, when the temple was leveled, then that really took the heart out of the Jewish nation and out of the Jewish religion. They didn't have the temple to go to anymore. They didn't offer the animal sacrifices anymore. They didn't have the Sanhedrin there anymore. They were totally conquered by these Romans. Now, they had been under the Roman rule for a long time, but now the Romans have destroyed really the heart and the soul and the pride of this nation Israel, and they have never been the same nation since. And what we find is that this was all according to God's plan. God knew that they were going to be unfaithful to him, and God knew that he was going to punish them like this. And what I want to do right now is to briefly turn back to Matthew chapter 21 and work our way up to Matthew chapter 24 and look at a few verses here. Let's go back first of all to Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. And this is where Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders. And I want you to notice very carefully what Jesus says here. In Matthew 21, verse 43, Jesus said, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you." Notice that. Let those words sink in. He's talking to the Jews, and he says, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you." The kingdom of God had been given to them. They were a nation. They were a physical, earthly, political system or organization, and God had set up that nation from the very beginning. He had chosen this people, this nation, from among all of the nations of the earth. So they were his chosen people, and they were his favored and blessed people in many ways. But Jesus said that's coming to an end. God is going to take away that status from you. He's going to take away those privileges from you, and God is going to give the kingdom to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. In other words, producing the kind of fruits, the kind of righteousness, the kind of good deeds and good lives that you should have been producing all along. Who's he going to give it to? He's going to give that to the Gentile people. And it's not going to be an earthly nation. It's not going to be a political empire. It's going to be the spiritual kingdom of God. But my point in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43 is this, folks. This passage shows that Jesus did not promise that the Jews were always going to be God's chosen people. Jesus said their chosen status was coming to an end. Now, as you continue to read in Matthew chapter 22, you find that he speaks a parable here, and in the midst of this parable, he talks about a king who had heard and was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And if that doesn't refer to the city of Jerusalem, I don't know what that would represent, because he's talking about an invitation that was given out, and the people spurned that invitation. That would refer to the Jews, because the gospel went to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 23 real briefly here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23 that judgment was coming upon these people. He says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. You Jews are going to receive the judgment of God. And he says it's going to take place in this generation. Verse 36, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." So whatever Jesus is talking about, it happened in the first century. And then when you get to Matthew chapter 24, of course, as Jesus and his disciples leave the temple, the disciples show him all the beautiful and splendid things of the temple, all the buildings that surrounded it. And Jesus said, "Do you see these things? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." These things, the temple and all these buildings, are going to be destroyed. Well, that's something that a Jew back in Jesus' day would have never imagined. And it must have been a shock for anybody to hear this for the first time. And that's when Jesus begins to talk about the judgment that is finally going to come upon these Israelite people and the nation of Israel as a whole, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem. And that will take you all the way down through verse 35. And notice again that he says in verse 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." What is he talking about? God is casting off. God is putting aside the Israelite nation to be his chosen people. They have not been since, folks, and they will not be again. That was something that was conditional. And God ended not only the formal contract that he had with them as far as the law of Moses was concerned in the first century, but he also ended the practice of the Jewish system politically and religiously when he destroyed that city in AD 70. That's why it's such an important event, and this is why we need to understand this as we talk about the Israelite nation today. Remember, folks, that the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 12, that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And in Galatians 3, verse 28, the Bible says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." If we're in Christ, we're Christians, we are the seed of Abraham, and we are the spiritual Israel of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy and a pleasure to be able to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.